Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Paranormal Saloon. I'm your host, Jay Hill. And I'm getting my ass sweating out here because I've got that heater on down here and it's freaking hot. Okay, anyways. We got a great show tonight. We have a couple people from Paranormal Rocktown that's in Broadhead, Wisconsin. I've been to Broadhead. The school there, my cousin, who's in her 80s, went to high school in the 50s there. So, yeah, I've been there. I went there with a Paracon once. It was pretty cool. It's a great place. I'm excited to see what they've got going on there. I think it's July that they have this event. So I am going to get Chris on here. What's up, brother? Can you hear me?
All right, there we go. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yeah, I can hear you. All right. All right. Chris Hartle, is that how you say your last name?
Correct.
Okay. Paranormal Rockdown. We got Jamie coming soon, and talk a little bit about this. Why don't you let my listeners and my viewers know a little bit who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so everybody knows me. My name's Chris. I'm actually the founder of Shadow Seekers Paranormal. Been doing my team investigation for about roughly just over 2 years now, going on three. Started that back with my aunt and a couple other people. Currently now we are down to just me and my aunt as the team members as full time. And then last year we decided to put an event together, and pretty much big fan of heavy metal, rock music, and the paranormal are my two favorite things. So decided to combine them together and put an event together with both of them. So we decided to do it at Edinburgh Manor, and the first night we always hold the concert with all the rock bands, and then on the second day we do an investigation at the location. But this year we decided to take it a step further and make it a Paracon with the investigation.
Nice. So who else do you have working with that besides you and Jamie?
So my aunt Pam is part of the team, so she's a big part of it. And then I have another future team member that we're probably going to bring onto our team, Dawn. Mm-hmm. She's helping out with putting together the Rockdown, and then obviously Bill, the owner of Broadhead, is a big part of it as well.
Okay. Awesome. How long have you been a paranormal investigator?
With my team, it's been, like I said, almost 3 years going on. But doing it on my own, like goofing around at cemeteries, at my parents' house, locations that I've lived at and stuff, going on probably about 15 years doing that.
Well, yeah, sometimes when you're doing it by yourself, you get, I don't know, it's just, I'd rather do some stuff by myself, you know what I mean? I'd especially going to haunted locations, I like doing solo stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, it eliminates like background noise, people walking and stuff like that, or if you got other people on another floor and they're making noise, like Edinburgh's notorious. I'm not sure if you've been to Edinburgh, but that place is huge. Yeah, that place is huge, but you can hear everything on every single floor that people are doing.
Right. Now, you've been to Broadhead, right?
Correct. Yeah, I've been there two times now.
Okay. What did you think of that place?
I loved it. First time I walked in there, I loved that place. I mean, it's probably my second favorite location. Edinburgh is my definitely favorite, but I think that's only my favorite because it's the first place that my team went to, and it's pretty much what formed my team. But Broadhead is right there at the top with it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, like I said in the beginning of the show, my cousin like I said, who's in her 80s, she went to high school there at Broadhead. And yeah, she, when I told her I was going there once, a couple of years ago, or yeah, it was a couple of years ago. And she was, you know, let me know and I'd love to go visit. And so yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how you procured some of these bands?
So the bands, it's just pretty much bands that I was a fan of, already, just listening, finding them on YouTube and stuff, and just reaching out to them and saying, hey, I'm doing this event. Got this, and big into the paranormal. Some of them, like Miles, that's on the band Left on Red, he used to be in a band called Saul. And Saul always did an paranormal event too at Edinburgh Manor, because they're from out there in Iowa. So he was already a big fan of the paranormal, so he was definitely easy to convince to do it. I tried reaching out to like bigger bands, but as I've said in our previous podcast that we just recently did, big problem with getting the big bands was Rockfest is that same weekend out in Broadhead. So it was tough to get it because they're all on their contracts.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's just sending out the emails and contacting the right people.
Right. And, you know, kind of getting lucky a little bit with some of these bands because, you know, I mean, depending on who you talk to, I mean, you know, some of these bands are easy to you know, get along with and this and that, especially if you want them to do a different type of event. But man, some of the bigger bands, you know, they want to get paid buku bucks, or they want this, they want that, you know. So it sounds like, I saw the list. I mean, it sounds like you've got some pretty cool bands, you know. And I have a friend of mine who that's all he does is listen to that music. And I like it too, don't get me wrong. But I mean, he every day listens to it. And
And the thing too with doing that is trying to find bands that are local, so it's like at a cheaper cost to you, because then they don't have to travel as far. Pretty much all of them are from either Illinois, Wisconsin, or St. Louis, so it's only maybe 3-4 hour drive for typical most of them. Jelly is coming the farthest. Green Jelly's coming from Florida, so but I mean, like the one band January that's from Illinois, I've talked to them months before we even announced this, and they're actually building their own tour around our event to travel for it.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I think integrating the music aspect of it and the paranormal, you know, I don't see it. It's a great idea. You know, I mean, you get entertainment and then you know, get another, you know, you get to do one of your other passions of investigating and whatnot. And, yeah, I think that's fantastic. Let me ask you, what are some of the things that with you being in the paranormal and being an investigator, what is the one thing that you work on to improve the most in when you investigate?
I'd probably say just trying to keep an open mind, because, I mean, if you keep an open mind, it's going to make it where you're more concentrated on what's going on around you.
Right.
So, I mean, like, for instance, if you're with a big team, like we're just talking to background noise, you're going to be able to realize what's background noise and what's not background noise, or somebody's crunching rocks on the ground or kicking a rock. It's not a rock being thrown at you.
Right. I think personally, having, you know, a smaller team and, you know, with less background noise and this and that, the one thing I always, the one thing I always had an issue with was with larger teams or more people was, everybody talking at once. And that drove me nuts. You know, it's like, I think there'd be a certain time where you don't talk and you just kind of let things kind of lie, you know, the way they are, and you kind of just listen. But some of the people in my past that I was with that they just couldn't shut up, you know, it just drove me nuts, you know, so talk about background noise, you know.
The thing that drives me nuts with big teams too is the flashlights, getting flashlights in your face and everything, and people don't realize if you definitely need a flashlight, you need to face that thing towards the ground.
Right, exactly. I think we have Jamie in here now. Are you there?
There she is.
Here I am.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. It wouldn't allow me to do it with Chrome or anything. I had to use Firefox for some reason.
I thought you were having problems putting that lashes on.
Yeah. How are you, Jamie?
I am wonderful now that I'm here.
Okay.
How are you, Jay? I haven't seen you in a while.
I know I haven't seen you in a while either. I'm good. You know, I'm just focusing on this and the show and whatnot. And I just got tired of sitting on my hands, you know, so I decided to. I'm booked until God knows when. It's just crazy. So. Tell everybody what you've got going on. Huh?
What's I have going on? Oh, goodness. Well, I just got back from the Boyd House over this past weekend. Next weekend, I'm going to be at Rob and Terry's potluck, his paranormal potluck that he's doing. I'm going to be in April. I'm going to be at Ashmore Estates assisting Ashley with the kids' day. Yeah, so that's what I have currently going on. And obviously the Paranormal Rockdown, which we'll talk about in a little while. But we got that going on and a whole bunch of other little things throughout the summer. But taking a little bit of a backseat this summer compared to last summer.
Yeah, you were kind of everywhere last summer.
Yeah, all but two weekends from April to November, I was gone.
Yeah.
And that got to be a little much.
Yeah, that is... you know, going to Paracons and doing events and all that stuff. Yeah, it can take its toll on you, you know. Absolutely. Hey, Chris, what do you have going on, you know?
As of right now, I just have the Rockdown going on. I'm trying, we're a sponsor for Booze on the Battleship, so I'm trying to work it out where I can make it out there for that event.
Okay.
But that I haven't locked in yet, but that's the only two things I have in mind right now. Because Rockdown's taking up a lot of it.
Right. Yeah, and that is, especially in the, you know, in the cold months, you know, I mean, in the summer months, everybody's, you know, out doing stuff. But when it's cold like this, I hate cold weather, and I live in the wrong state to do so. But, you know. It is.
Hey, Jay, I got a quick question for you. So what page are we airing on right now?
We are on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble.
TikTok. And what Facebook page? Because I've got people asking and they can't find us.
Studio 6.
Is it Studio 6? Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I usually put it on my personal page, but I've got so much other stuff on there that I'm trying to get focused on.
Makes sense.
So, but yeah, I figured I'll just put it on my Studio 6 page. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, this way I can get it shared out.
So yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. So, I know a little bit about Jamie's little experience with spirits and ghosts, but let me, Chris, ask you, what are some of the notable ones, interactions with spirits that you've had in your lifetime?
So the one that I remember the most, would be Edinburgh. Can't remember if it was the first time or the second time we went there. And we were investigating the kids' room on the first floor hallway down there. And I was sitting on the floor just trying to interact with the spirits, interact with the kids. and it felt like something was on my back. So my team member Pam that came into the room, I had her take a picture of my back to see if there was anything that would develop onto the pictures. Got absolutely nothing. But still could get that feeling like something was there. Luckily I had a video camera that was behind me, and when I decided to finally leave the room, when I went to stand up, orb probably about the size of a volleyball just shot out straight out of my back and went straight towards the ceiling.
Oh wow.
That first time that we were there too is we were getting our tour from the tour guide, and we were standing there. She was telling us about the first floor, and all of a sudden you heard a little girl just like humming, like she was singing. And out of the six of us that were my teammates, it was just me and my aunt that heard it. And without even saying anything, as soon as we heard it, me and my aunt just both looked at each other like, oh my God, do you hear that? other than that, Broadhead, we've had a lot of activity. Jamie was there when we had the one thing happen where we were up in the one room, one of the school rooms, with the chalkboard and everything, and we were getting interaction with one of the spirits there, and they kept wanting somebody to sing to them. We kept asking, who do you want to sing? And we were like, do you want Chris to sing to you? Do you want Pam to sing to you? Kept getting nothing, and as soon as we said Jamie, we got the yes. So luckily, Jamie was downstairs, and we called her on the phone, and over speakerphone, Jamie sung to him.
Wow. That's nice of you.
Just goes to show I'm loved at Broadhead. They know me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Annie, how are you?
You know, when I went there, what was it? Was it 2 years ago? I think it was when they had the Paracon there with Paraflix, and I knew that there was some spirits there. You know what I mean? And I actually got yelled at before when I walked in because I got out of my car, and the voice that came through my head said, "Do not walk on the grass." And I was like, "What the hell?" And then I saw this kind of a tall principal guy, and I'm like, okay, yeah. And so when I went inside and I was talking with Dan Norbo and somebody else and Larry Eisler, and I described that whole scene, and Dan was like, yeah, that's the principal. I'm like, yeah, I already got yelled at, and I don't even go to this school. You know? So, but yeah, I mean, it's the whole area. If people haven't been to Broadhead, Wisconsin, it's a beautiful small town. You know, like I said, my cousin used to live there, and there's some beautiful houses there, you know, and that school, yeah. Broadhead school was, yeah. I mean, there's just been, you know, and, they've done a lot of great work on that. You know, they have a lot of good events, and yeah. So a lot of people love Broadhead. So, Jamie, this is the first time that I've had you on any of my podcasts.
It is.
So I'm going to ask you the same question what I asked Chris. What are some of the paranormal experiences that you can remember that really kind of affected you, or good or bad?
There's been so many. I really haven't had any really negative experiences. Thank mm-hmm. goodness, knock on wood. Let's keep it that way. Most all of mm-hmm. mine have been very, very positive. From things like, I had a holy crap moment when I was walking through a cemetery. I swear something was walking beside me. Whenever I walked, it walked right next to me, and you could hear it crunching the grass. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked up my footsteps a little faster and went to go hang out with the crew that I was supposed to be hanging out with, because I went to wander by myself and was like, yeah, right. We're going to stay by you guys for a while. Yeah. So that one got me a little bit. And then there was one that was really cool at Broadhead, too. Just three pieces of equipment simultaneously going off, like seconds after one another. We heard a big bang, like a metal door shutting. Then the tripwire went off, and then it like followed it down like the stairs, and then the 360 began going off. So it's almost like somebody started up one area, ran down, and went down to the other. So that was really cool to have all of those going off all at once.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yeah, I've had quite a few, and those are just two of them.
Right.
Just this past weekend at Boyd House, with a SLS, we kept getting a figure sitting in the chair, and it was validated through the tripwire going off, and then the dead bell only went off once the whole night. Well, I shouldn't say the whole night. It went off twice, but the dead bell was sitting right on a bench right next to it. And to have all three of those simultaneously happening all within 5 minutes was pretty crazy.
Right. Is that the Boyd House? Isn't that in Minnesota?
It is.
With Shelley?
Yeah. Jill Shelley's one of her locations.
Yeah. She's going to be on this show Sunday.
Yeah, I was all excited because I was just there, and I was at her other location twice last year.
Yeah,
her Masonic Lodge.
I've interviewed
incredible.
Her. When we had our first show, I think we interviewed her. I think I did it by myself, actually, when I interviewed her. God, that was like 3-4 years ago. Yeah. I can't believe I'm still doing this. I mean, it's been four or 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Talk
so good
a little
at
bit
it.
More
That's
about, impressive. Thank you. Talk a little bit more about, your guys' collaboration with the Rockdown. You know,
go ahead, Chris.
So pretty much last year I pretty much dibbed it with just me and my aunt. Me and my aunt put it together. This year, aunt was pretty busy and everything, so she had a lot going on. So I was pretty much working on it myself, and Jamie volunteered to help with everything. People that were supposed to help me had some health issues, so they had to back out of helping. But Jamie definitely stepped up, and after meeting her at our local convention here in the Chicago area that Jack Chavez puts on, me and her met through that. She just stepped up and volunteered to help me, and is definitely a great help in putting together making it an excellent event with all these special guests.
Yeah, and I think you've got you're in good company with Jamie too.
Thanks.
You know. Yeah. You know, she's kind of, you know, extends her help wherever she feels that she needs to be. And, you know, I've noticed that since the first time that we met back in Illinois at it's called the Roadhouse now. Because it was the haunted YMCA, but they can't use that anymore. So are you out there this year? Are you going out there this year, both you guys, or no?
No, I was there last year. I was a sponsor last year, but there's no way I can do it this year.
The previous year I was a sponsor, and I can't afford it either. You know? So yeah. But let's talk a little bit about some of the equipment that you guys use at Broadhead. You know, what are some of the things that you guys use or that you personally like that's your favorite?
I usually don't use too much equipment. I mean, I'll use the cat balls and my voice recorder, but other than that, I pretty much just use my own body and the feeling I get when I walk into the rooms. Other than that, I really don't use too much other equipment.
Yeah. Jamie, do you?
Sure. We all have the fun stuff that we like to put out and try to use. But, you know, your body is the number one thing that you need at Broadhead. I mean,
right.
Your equipment isn't going to make a ball move across the floor. Your equipment isn't going to allow you to hear a voice, you know, that's coming down the hall or the shadow that you're seeing, you know, so your body is huge.
Right.
Now, if you want to try to capture that, that's a whole nother thing. That's when you really want to start using that equipment. I do like to use, you know, like the tripwire. I don't care for like the SLS, not a broadhead. The spirit boxes. We all know that there's so much paranormal equipment that's out there. So it's going to be hit or miss depending on which room that you're in.
Right.
You know, they do like the cat balls. I've been putting the cat balls inside of the balloons and they've really been liking that. Mm-hmm. Especially upstairs on the second floor, you know, but again, it all depends where you are and what the mood is at the time.
Right. Now I personally, you know, I use myself, but cat balls, those cat toys are the best. I've had great experiences with those. Even when I did my show at a haunted location, I did have activity on a live video. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, cat toys. Yeah, I'll take those cat toys. I used to have a bunch of different things, you know. I used to have a lot. I sold it all because I didn't use it. You know?
Yeah.
I sold my spirit, one of the spirit box I made to you.
Yeah, I got it. In fact, I used it at Bill Shelley's place last year for the first time. Annie's down there saying the fog machine at Broadhead Manor. If you've never seen that, that's pretty darn wicked. Oh, he has the laser light set up in the fog. That kind of
makes sense. Yep, that would make sense. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, if you've never seen it, it's something you definitely have to experience.
Yeah, that's awesome how he's got that set up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, there's where people have used different pieces of equipment. Well, what it comes down to is just whatever you're comfortable with and whatever, you know, that you think that would yield, you know, the results that you're looking for, you know what I mean? And a lot of people don't quite understand that it's personal preference, you know? I mean, it's just, and I don't have anything against any equipment or anything like that. I don't agree with some of it, but it's like, whatever, you know, it's not my forte I'm not an expert on any of that. You know what I mean? I don't make equipment. But I just think that it's, you know, whatever makes you happy, whatever, you know, you feel works for you, you know?
But, well, I've even done the simplest of things. I used to always carry a really long, just regular feather with me, because you'd be surprised that when you have no windows or drafts or anything, and you just set that down and you watch it, and it doesn't move, and then you ask, you know, something to move it by command, and it starts spinning. That's one of the coolest things you can see.
Yeah. A feather. Yeah, right.
You know, but that's something very easy for them to move.
Have you ever used the dowsing rods?
I cannot use the dowsing rods because of my neurological disorder.
I've never used them, but I know at Broadhead, Bill uses them all the time, and they work excellent for him.
Yeah, I was with
He froze again.
He was using it's just one of those things where that's another hit or miss. I think that people, if it resonates with you that you can use dowsing rods, some people just can't, you know, they just don't, they don't get anything. I have had a pair, but I really didn't connect with them for some reason. I don't know why, but I just never really did. But there's some people that can really connect with them, you know?
I feel like those are a lot like a pendulum, using a pendulum.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same concept, but a little different.
Right.
And I have better luck using the pendulum than I do the dowsing rods, and that's just because of how you hold it.
Right.
So I would prefer one over the other, definitely.
Right. So where are these bands playing inside then? Are they or outside?
So originally they were supposed to play at Broadhead. But as I stated earlier, Rockfest is going on at the same weekend as our event. Country Thunder is going on at the same time as that event.
Oh.
So we could not get the proper equipment into Broadhead. We could have rented from anybody because it's all going to Rockfest and Country Thunder. So there's actually a bar called Main Street Events that's 15 minutes up the street from Broadhead. Mm-hmm. So they're all going to be playing at that location now.
Nice.
And that's on Friday night, July 18th.
July 18th. I thought it was the 15th. My bad. Okay.
Yep. I believe starting at 4 p.m. we said?
Yeah. Bands are going to start at 4.
Right. So how many bands total?
We got 7 right now.
Oh, wow. Nice. Now, when are you going to hold the investigation?
So there's going to be investigations both nights. So for people that don't want to go see the bands that aren't into the heavy metal, hard rock, we are going to be holding probably 2, maybe 3 mini investigations at Broadhead during the concert.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday after the Paracon, I think roughly around 6 or 7-ish, we're going to start the investigation for the overnight at Broadhead.
Cool. All right. So what about these bands? Any of these bands, members of these bands, want to participate in the investigations?
I haven't confirmed which ones they want to, but I know Dead Amsterdam wants to for sure. Got a couple of the guys in Left and Right are going to be there. And I believe the guys in January are going to be there. That's the only ones I have confirmed right now.
Right.
They participated, not all of them, but a bunch of them participated last year and had a great time at Edinburgh Manor.
The only reason I haven't had confirmation from other ones is because they're figuring out tour dates and stuff, so they don't know if they're going to be able to stay afterwards or if they got to hit the road to go to the next place.
Right. The life of a rock star.
Right?
So, yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about, Jamie, I wanted to kind of touch this with you first.
Sure.
Do you have anything in the paranormal field that you have experienced that you would like to see less of? Like, personal, like, people-wise, you know what I mean? Like, when you investigate, what are some of the things that you would rather see during investigations, you know what I mean, instead of?
I wish people would take a little bit more time in the areas that they're investigating. Don't just sit there for 5 minutes, not get anything, and then move on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's almost like walking into somebody's house for the very first time and not really knowing them very well, like walking into a party and not knowing anybody very well. First, you sit down, you observe, you listen, and then that's when you start engaging. It's the same thing with spirits. You know, you have to give them time to warm up to you as well as you to warm up to them, you know, introduce yourself, but don't do it like it's an AA meeting. You don't walk into a party and say, hey, we're going to go around the room and say who we are, where we're from, and why we're here, you know?
Right.
Do it nonchalantly, you know, introduce yourselves and, you know, a lot less, depending on the group, because I've brought a lot of people together in regards to, you know, because I am a solo investigator. So I'll put a post out there and say, hey, anybody want to go here? And I'll have, you know, 10 to 38 people wanting to go. So I have to book locations twice. You know, and when you're investigating with those that you don't know very well, trying to keep everybody on the same page of, you can talk, but you don't need to scream, nor do you need to whisper. You know, talk in your normal voice. You know, if you do burp, make sure that you're time stamping it. If you're shuffling your, you know, feet, time stamp it. You know, all of those just little things I'd like to see more of.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that self-awareness. And I think a lot of, not a lot, but I mean, there's a handful of teams now that I've noticed on, even on YouTube or even some of the shows that I've seen, you know, it's, they kind of disregard a little bit about what you were talking about. They disregard some of that stuff to the point where it really takes away from the investigation. You know, it really kind of just makes it so it's just not as enjoyable, or even kind of lacks the research aspect of it. You know what I mean? So same question to you, Chris. I mean, there's something that you would rather, what that you would like to see in the paranormal field, or let me ask you a little bit differently. What would annoy the shit out of you in an investigation?
When you're sitting in a room trying to communicate with somebody and member of your team or somebody you invited on that investigation with you is just constantly walking around and stirring up noise, or sitting in a chair, getting up out of the chair, sitting in a chair, and just constantly making noise when you're sitting there trying to communicate with everything.
Right.
Or just like I said before, Jamie came on, the whole flashlight thing. You don't need to be flinging a flashlight around, or every single little noise you hear, you got to turn your flashlight on. Oh my God, what was that? It affects the evidence.
Yeah.
I have one, being with what Chris said. And forgive me if this person is watching, but I had somebody come to an investigation with a headlamp on that was walking around. So it was like right in everybody's eyes, wearing bright orange gear, like she was a construction worker working in the middle of the night, with cat balls going off in their pockets. Oh, like, who wears that to an investigation? It's normal.
Have you investigated with that person again?
No. And I think that was one of the first times that person really went out and investigated. And I did leave feedback with the founder of the team.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully it's changed. But if not, if that's the way they want to do their investigations, by all means. But I don't want it with mine.
Right. Okay. Shifting gears a little bit. Jamie, pick a place that you haven't been to that you really want to go to, that you want to investigate. Pick a place. Let's say that you could afford it.
Well, there's two that I can think of. Craig and Melissa purchased a place in Berlin. It's a church and things like that. I'm going to be booking that hopefully this year. And then Nick Simons just posted a place in Muscatine, Iowa, or Illinois, that I want to go to as well. Okay. But that one I've got reservations, because apparently there's an either upstairs or downstairs, there's an apartment. So I don't know how that's going to affect
that could be a little bit difficult, you know what I mean?
But
you're talking about Berlin, Wisconsin, right?
I am.
Okay, because I was like, Berlin, I'm like, you're talking about Germany?
No. I don't even have a passport.
right. I don't either, so don't feel bad.
If my friend Kathy is watching, there's this really cool funeral home that's been seen on Discovery TV that I want to go to with her in Canada this year as well. She was there last year.
Oh, wow.
It's where they renovated a big, huge funeral home. Richard Estep has been there and wrote a book about it and stuff. I want to go there this year with her.
You know, we had a here in Lake Geneva, we had an old funeral home that was there for eons. And I loved that building. That building was sweet. It was right downtown. Well, the brick and mortar people needed that property to finish to build another building. And I was like, and they tore down that old building, which really irritated me to no end. And I'm like, and I knew I've been there in there before when it used, it was like coffee shops and, you know, something else. And cause it was a big two-story building.
Yeah. And
it had the really old wood floors that you walk on it, it creaks, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just super old. So I walked in there and I knew immediately I had images of way different things, you know, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Well, then, you know, a couple years later, then I realized that I drove by and they tore it down. I was like realizing, yeah, they tore it down. And then the brick and mortar people decided to, you know, build another store there. And I was like, I hope that them spirits haunt the shit out of them.
Right?
Because there was quite a few of them in there, in that building. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yep. There was one spirit there. It's like a reverend. And he had one of those big, not super big, but it was a black hat with a flat rim all the way around. But I could see his collar. He had a collar. He was a preacher.
Yeah.
And he's still there. And I know he is.
Yeah.
So, yep. That's just crazy. Right. So, yeah. So talking about funeral homes, I really would love to be able to investigate a funeral home. You know?
Next weekend when I go to that potluck, Ashley and my friend Ann and I were staying at an Airbnb that used to be a funeral home, and it's been renovated into an Airbnb.
Really? Where is that at?
Auburn, Illinois.
Auburn, Illinois.
Yeah, it's east.
Okay. East?
Yeah, it's like...
That's close to Ashmore, right?
No, it's actually about 2 hours away from Ashmore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, because you know me, I'm right on the border. Yeah. On Lake Geneva. I could 15 minutes and I could walk into Illinois.
Yeah. Right at the border.
Right at the border. Yep. So let me ask you the same question, Chris. You know, pick a couple places that you haven't been to that you really want to go to.
So the one I wanted to go to that I haven't been to is torn down now with Bobby Mackey's, but hopefully when they rebuild, whatever was there stays there. Like we were just talking about the one that got rebuilt that you were talking about. Other than that, I want to go to Villisca. I have not been to Villisca yet.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I've got quite a few friends that have been to Villisca. And yeah, I used to live in Iowa. Actually, I used to live on the far west side of Iowa, so I can't stand Iowa. I really can't. I've lived everywhere from Missouri to Iowa, Colorado. Yeah, but so having said that, with some of these places that you want to go to, have you ever been to a place that let you down? That you were like, oh, I thought this was going to be more, and it really isn't?
I've always had that happen the first time we go there, but I always give a location always a second chance.
Right.
So, for instance, the first time I went to Rock Island. Rock Island got absolutely nothing the very first time we were there at the YMCA.
Right.
Was thinking, hey, this lady's crazy, everything that the people claim that's going on here. Gave it a second chance, and I went back with the guys from We Are Paranormal. Met up with Nick Simmons there and everything, and we had a crap ton happen that night we were there.
It's all about timing with that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there and I investigated there before the Paracon a couple years ago. And we got stuff immediately when we went up to the like the top floor. But after the owner left, we had nothing. We didn't get anything. I mean, it was like crazy nothing. And it was frustrating. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, I've had that happen. You know, what about you, Jamie? Is there a place that you had high hopes for and it really kind of didn't?
No, I can't say that I've ever been disappointed at a location. And I've been to a lot of locations.
Yeah.
And I've been racking my, while you guys were talking, I was going through my list and I'm like, nope, that was a good one. So no, I haven't maybe been disappointed maybe yet.
Just you.
My positive energy.
Right. Maybe you're haunted.
Maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past you.
This is true.
Yeah. See, shut. Chris knows. Yep, Chris knows. Yep.
Maybe.
But yeah.
So let's ask you that same question, Jay. Have you had any location you were disappointed in?
Well, I would have to say the same thing about Rock Island. I think, like I said, with that, it was just, it's all about timing, you know, and gosh. Yeah, there was a house that used to be part of a mental facility in Lake Geneva where I'm from, and it housed children, and there was some crazy statements that they would hear children after when there was nobody in the house and it was dark. You know, people would walk by and hear children playing in there and this and that. And I went in there with one of my groups and I really didn't get nothing. I didn't get anything. I mean, I got a little bit of something, but I knew that there was a negative entity in the basement. I knew that. Because we got a growl when we went down into the basement and we both heard it and we both kind of, cause we're both at that time, we're both gifted and I saw it and it was nasty. It was kind of, ugh. But other than that, upstairs, nothing really. It was a beautiful home. Don't get me wrong. Somebody bought it and the lady that owned it was trying to sell it, but she wanted to know what the value of it would be if it was haunted. I'm like, it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she basically had said that she had talked to a couple, I don't want to say high society people, but you know, people that got money, you know, people that, you know, Lake Geneva is a resort town. So, I mean, it's just, but she got like totally criticized. I mean, this one lady was yelling at her, you can't do that. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, and I told her, I said, you can do it. You own it. You do whatever you want. You know,
right.
You want to sell it as a haunted house? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I think she sold it for $800,000. So I think, I'm not sure, but I think that was her price. But yeah, it's, certain places in certain areas, people are okay with the paranormal. There's other places that they don't want nothing to do with it because they think it's going to give them a bad rap or it's going to hurt business or it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think by the way it is, the world is now, as crazy as the world is, I don't think having a paranormal in your town is going to hurt your business. You know?
No. And I think a lot of that is just a lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. and lack of education,
right.
Because the stigma is slowly but surely starting to change in regards, mm-hmm. to the paranormal.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I work at a beauty salon and I have a little ghost that's tattooed on my hand and I'm always wearing some sort of paranormal t-shirt. And people are always asking me, and I'm like, well, I have this little side thing that I do.
Right.
And you'd be surprised at the people that are absolutely intrigued by it, from these little 80-year-old women to these, you know, eight-year-old little boys eating burgers, you know?
You better be giving them a Paranormal Rockdown flyer when they say that.
Right. You need to see this.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's, you know, older people, you know, people who are on the last stages of their life, you know, they've got the greatest stories. You know, I'm sure that, you know, I've always wanted to. And maybe it's a bad idea, I don't know, but I would love to go to a nursing home and just befriend, you know, these people and some of these people and hear their stories, because I love history, you know, and I, you know, just the way they talk about certain things, and, you know, so yeah, it's just, it's really pretty cool. I mean, the older crowd, when we were young, we thought, oh my God, that person's old, you know, and they're in their 50s. And now look at them. We're in our 50s. We're not old.
Right. Well, I'm not in my 50s yet.
Yet. Yeah.
This close.
Yeah, you're close.
Not quite.
You couldn't tell, Jamie. You couldn't tell.
Thanks. So how much have you guys talked about the Rockdown?
Oh, quite a bit.
Because I was like 10 minutes late. So. We
you can go ahead and say our guest lineup if you want. We haven't said that.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I would love to give our guest lineup. To us, all of our guests are pretty much created equal, whether you've been on TV a million times or you haven't been on TV at all. You know, everybody has a story to tell, and all of our speakers are going to be acknowledged as so. So we have so many. I think we've got almost 30 different speakers, or well, guests that are on our banner right now. Mm-hmm. From, gosh, we've got Jesse Hawthorne, we have Christina Bloom, Jack Chavez, we have Dave Schrader coming, we have a live Zoom, it's going to be a presentation and a Q&A from Dustin Perry, Sam Baltrusis is going to be joining us, Larry Eisler, Ashmore Estates, Dark Realm TV. We've got Joe Kudo and Jason Snyder coming out for sure. We're hoping that Jay Lynch comes as well. We've got Chad Lindbergh from, you know, Fast and the Furious, and Stormy Daniels. We've got, and we're really proud to say this part, but we have a lot of the Beacon crew coming. Beacon is sponsoring. So if you haven't, you guys need to check out Beacon TV. It's a streaming service on Roku and, gosh, a whole bunch of other platforms. I just have it on Roku. That's what I'm saying, Roku. but stream Beacon TV, a lot of new content. Josh Purvis, Vince Keyline, who else? Michael Angus, Mike Galliano, and Marilyn Bass. So a bunch of their crews coming. Sam Baltrusis just dropped a show on there called Haunted Cape Cod. So we're beyond excited. We are tickled pink, and we've got some incredible sponsors. I just named Beacon, but we have Annie Waters was just in the chat, Lotus Paranormal, Eternal Paranormal, Spire, Katie McFay, the Wisconsin Bearded Brothers, Hot Headed Radio. And I know I'm forgetting some, but there's just so
Boo many. Bitches and Small Town Productions.
Yeah, Small Town Productions. Yeah. That's what I was trying to
think. Can't forget Larry.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Oh, yeah. And Unturned Pages.
Yeah, Unturned Pages. They just joined. So, yeah, we're very, very excited to have all of them be a part of this year. And we're funded appropriately right now, but we are accepting donations in any way, shape, or form, because that doesn't just help us with the Paranormal Rockdown. It also helps Broadhead Manor. It brings these people to that location to get familiar with it, love it like we do, become family, and return, you know, and that helps Broadhead that helps Bill and Ron restore this building to keep it alive for years to come. So that's very, very important to us. Right. And that's one of the reasons that Broadhead was chosen to do this.
Right.
It's a, for anybody who hasn't been there, it is a 60,000 square foot old schoolhouse. And it's huge. And you'll be able to take tours through the day if you would like to, and investigate if you would like to, or hang out in the gym and, you know, see all that fun stuff that we've got going on, because we've got a lot of vendors coming.
Nice.
From selling crystals to doing psychic readings to different teams. It's remarkable.
You can even get a massage while you're there.
Heck yeah.
Got a massage vendor coming.
Nice.
Heck yeah. That's right, awesome.
Right on.
So it's, yeah, it's very exciting, and we're very, very proud of it. And if anybody ever has any questions, they can contact Chris Hartle or myself on Facebook, or just go to the Paranormal Rockdown page. Now, mind you, there's two pages. There's the Paranormal Rockdown page, and then there's the Paranormal Rockdown 2025 event page. So if you are coming, go ahead on that event page, click if you're interested, or click if you're going, and follow us for all the updates.
Okay.
I think and today I just posted that we got Dana Strickert as our highlighted guest for this week.
Nice.
And as she was saying about vendors, I think we have like 5 vendor tables left. So if you want a vendor table, you need to get it now before those last 5 are gone.
Right. Right. Awesome. Well, you guys, I want to thank you for this. It's been a while since, you know, I've talked to you, Jamie. So I really
thank you for having us on.
Yeah, you know, it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all about, you know, promoting and helping people, you know, get the word out for certain events and certain things, and even individuals. So, I just want to thank you both, and I'll thank our viewers for the same. We had a couple great people in the chat. So, like she said, you can find them at the Paranormal Rockdown page or Paranormal Rockdown 2025. You could find Jamie Lynn Keller and Chris Hartle and on Facebook. You know, give them a shout out and support the Paranormal Rockdown.
Just one more thing real quick. If they're interested in buying tickets and buying tickets now, they just got to go to paranormalrockdown.com.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, with that, everybody, I want to thank you. Be better than you were yesterday.
Bye, guys.